funny giggly in the beginning, but let's not.
Okay, we're rolling now.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to. Yay, right. Welcome everyone to the After the Rose podcast. Take four. Our original warm up exercises. It's warm enough. We're in my attic for the third week in a row, and it is hot as fuck.
It's me, Molly Leitch, and.
And me, Megan Krios.
And we're talking about The Bachelorette.
This was our episode four, the season's episode five.
They've been living together for a goddamn month. She keeps saying, like, we're in week four. Oh my god, because there's like a twist in week four, guys.
And Britt and Brady are apparently well on their way to marriage.
Yeah.
Which we learned tonight. Time moves strangely. We were watching some parts of the episode where they are back in winter. It's snowing in New York. It's like winter or early spring. It's really fun.
No, Megan, I think you just don't understand geography. It's the show takes place in California, so it's like it doesn't seem like winter. But then they travel to New York and it's like snowing. You get it?
Right, but they're airing it now in summer.
Oh, I see.
And in
what
New
you're
York
saying.
It's snowing. Like the time lag is.
So you didn't think that like it was like Game of Thrones, like, winter is coming, like, that it was, like, some sort of weird, like, winter.
Winter of the soul? Like, the.
Winter in the blood.
Are you asking me whether I thought the geography was a giant metaphor?
Like, I thought that you thought that, like, like that they were dating in winter in New York, and then it was, like, summer in California. Forget this.
It's like a Chronicles of Narnia thing.
Yeah, like, yes. Like, I thought that you thought that, like...
Nick V has two little fawn feet instead of legs. That's what I think.
Because Nick likes scarves so much, he can only exist in wintry climates.
Yeah, and he's also a goat boy.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get down to brass tacks.
All right.
This episode I thought was really good, despite... I did miss part of it. That was annoying.
Action-packed as fuck. And they really all have, like... Honestly, usually the first month of the show is, like, it's a little ho-hum, but, I mean, Caitlyn's bringing the drama, for sure.
But, so. At the same time, like, there's so much drama that we're in, like, a holding pattern. No one's being eliminated.
Crazy. Yeah, like, they're, like, there's no more rose ceremonies anymore. She's just like, I like you all equally. Like, there's still too many men to, like, keep them all straight. Like, there's one guy that, like, he puts on glasses and, like, he says why shit. And we're just like, who is that guy?
Oh,
like,
yeah, the sage.
We don't know
Clark
who he is.
The sage.
Yeah. Like, we probably know who he is when he's not wearing his glasses. But then he puts on his glasses and says shit. And we're just like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Yeah. So we had, like, so the dates on this show are, like, well, let's pull out our predictions from last time, should we?
Oh, we should start at the beginning with JJ and Clint. I mean,
yeah,
it feels like hours ago.
It was hours
ago.
What
were our predictions?
It was because here's the reveal is that I made Molly watch a prime time show. I don't even know what you call it.
You don't know what you call it? It's your favorite show. It's
no,
called The
no.
Whispers.
No, I know what they call it. What do you call that type of show?
A network drama.
Network drama. Okay, so, yeah.
There's no part of that sentence I love. There's never been a good network
Molly suddenly
drama.
Has... Molly suddenly
I'm
has
such a
very...
snob about TV all of a
snobbish,
sudden.
Snobbish, elitish, elitist... viewpoints about
we've been
about
drinking
this.
For 3 hours.
But suddenly you're a bit of a snob about this as we've been watching The Bachelorette in order to get ready for our podcast. You don't like The Whispers.
Oh, because there's a world of difference between like reality TV and like a network show that is trying to be dramatic. Here's my problem with network drama. Is that it's rated PG, necessarily, because it's on TV. Like, it's not on cable, it's not even on, like, basic cable. So it's always going to be whitewashed. Like, it's always going to have to try to be serious, but, like, still cater to, like, this, like, every man, like, persona. Whereas, like, reality TV can do that for some reason, but, like, I don't... Anyway, I hated the show.
You're between a rock and a hard place with your review.
I mean, I feel like I'm on point.
I know, you're right. I just watched the first episode and I got hooked in, but I got a little bit less.
It's a little riveting. Tonight. I mean, I don't like
spooky really children. It's really because I just really love that blonde woman who was also on American Horror Story.
Oh, okay. Like, the actress is...
Yeah.
She's all right. Like, she's... I get it. I like her. She's
beautiful. She also played Stevie Nicks's, she played, like, a witch who was obsessed with Stevie Nicks in the last... in the Coven series of American Horror Story. And so, whenever she comes on screen, I just see her resuscitating animals and dancing around to Stevie Nicks songs.
Well, all I know is I was sort of coherent at the end of The Bachelorette, and then we had to watch another hour of network TV, and now you're up to date.
Alright, so back to the... We started with Clint and JJ's craziness. Which I really had sort of consigned myself to the idea that they were faking their relationship and or attraction to each other.
They keep calling it a bromance, which I can't decide if that's homophobic or not. Like, you know? Like, all the other men refer to it as a bromance. They're like, oh, the bromance. But, it seems like there's an acknowledgement of, a sexual component to the bromance. But,
yeah, everyone seems to sort of acknowledge it. And, I don't know if it's, everything's working out well because they, everything's working out well for the world that I want to live in, where, potentially two guys could go on The Bachelorette and fall in love, but...
I think it is decidedly... I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not homophobic. Like, I think that it actually is sort of, a queer positive, just, we're all cool with it, thing, where, nobody's getting weird about the sex part that may or may not be involved. It was just weird. It was just hard to, figure out what was actually happening.
Yeah, and to figure out who the villains are, because it...
And, what's the game plan? Because that's what we were confused about at the end of last episode, and, that confusion
Right,
persists.
It's we want to stick around and be here together, but at the same time, they're both, clearly both still fighting for Caitlyn, too. JJ especially was, until this episode where he suddenly seems to just be deep in his sorrow, and they've stopped looking at, they've stopped sort of front-loading him as a character, either because the drama's gone or because he's legitimately...
What happened was Caitlin confronts Clint and is like, all the guys are saying that you're no good, you have to leave the show. Clint was like, that sucks, and then, JJ was like, I think you need to apologize to everyone. JJ totally threw Clint under the bus, so then Clint confronts JJ and is like... Fuck you, man. And they get really close.
Oh, they
and,
do this. It is. It's
really close the with their faces.
Yeah, the boxing move where you're just you're right there.
I wanted
so
them
much
to kiss
tension.
So much. It's whenever two 19-year-old Mormon missionaries come to my house, I just want them to start kissing. And they never do. They just talk to me about Christ. But that's what this was all over again.
Yeah, and they also have all the memes and whatever you call your internet world.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, I mean...
They have focused in on the Brokeback element, but there is something to that in, the sense that even if you look at that story, the fucking in that story comes in the midst of this moment of violence. So they're
That's
sort of
true,
like...
Yeah.
There's not... It's a very loaded moment, and then it's totally diffused and becomes kind of milk toast after that.
And Clint fucking looks like Heath Ledger, man. Oh, my God. When Heath Ledger, puts his fingers in his mouth, when he, licks his fingers and then, when he goes in for it in the tent. Oh, my God. We should make a podcast about that
soon. I know.
So good. But they didn't do that. This is network TV, so he didn't,
just
like,
went off in a reverie.
Clint just got so angry at JJ, and then he, stood, and then he, licked his
yeah,
fingers.
Yeah, there's so many, there's so many different levels to the, are they performing this?
Clint left the show, and, they were in a fight. Clint and JJ were friendship over, blah, and JJ was clearly upset. A man who has shown himself to be, chameleon, evil, seemingly not caring character was crying, hitting himself, stupid.
Right. Yeah, he's a big mystery, kind of.
Yeah.
I could see how they cast Clint as just, how Clint was just a straight up villain, and he wanted his cake and to eat it too, and he wanted to stick around, and JJ seems legitimately too. Trapped by his own actions and desires. Like, now he's there alone, and I don't know.
JJ was like, in an interview, he was like, I'm not here for a boyfriend. I'm here for, like, a girlfriend. I'm here for
Caitlin. Oh, he's like, I'm not here to make boyfriends.
Yeah.
I'm here for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Wow.
JJ's not long for this world. And after that initial confrontation, JJ really sort of, like, faded into the background of the rest of the episode. So we'll probably hear from him again later. But he skated by. Like, the other guys are not happy that he's still around because he's, like, a villain as well. But, like, you know. Yeah.
Molly, what happened to your foot?
Oh, I was at the beach and I sliced open my toe. And Megan is
terrible.
I tweeted it. If you guys want to see the injury, just at Molly L. I got it. I got a photo of the blood, and also on my Instagram, Molly Lage. So don't worry, you can see my bloody toe. I really want, when I get hurt, I want everybody to see it, because I want everybody to see it. Back to the show. Okay, so that happened, like, Clint's gone. So,
yeah,
like,
and what were the main dates? They started with the
Dougie Fresh,
yeah, the rap battle date. The whitest rap battle. Even Caitlin said that. She was like, there were two guys in khaki pants on this rap battle.
She says, I don't think there's ever been a rap battle with two guys in khaki pants. And, like, really good delivery, too. Good joke.
Yeah.
She's funnier than us.
Yeah.
Right now. usually we kill it. Yeah, so like, yeah, I don't know, rap battle. I wrote down Native Informant because they went to Jonathan from Detroit, like the, you know, like the brother from Detroit, and he's just like, yep, I'm here for the rap battle. Like, and then like Sean B, he's like, I'm from Nashville, like I'm really uncomfortable with the rap battle. I don't know. I actually thought they were good. Like, I thought that they were funny.
I thought they were terrible. I mean, their delivery was bad. I guess I really think that, like, maybe in my mind, I feel like I could.
I guess my bar was so low for that, like, I felt like their rap battle, like, zings were better than their comedy zings from last week, but,
I guess the zings were great, but it was their attempt, their non-attempt to put it to any kind of rhythm
Once again, it's like they're asking these guys to do a thing that is, like, totally hard, like, and requires, like, a lot of, like, training and talent. And they're just like, oh, just, like, be a stand-up comedian or, like, be a rapper.
like, your thoughts about be, your, like, your a Broadway. Stand-up comedy. I have this idea that I could just get up and rap, like.
You think that well, all right, let's have a rap battle right now, Megan.
I can do the entire Arrested Development song, Mr. Wendell, for you.
See, no, that's not. See, that's the thing. That's not what that battle is. Like, that's easy. Like,
oh, okay.
I could do Gangster's Paradise. Like,
okay,
I mean,
no, let's do it. Let's do a rap battle. All right. You go first.
You need to stop tripping. Your lines are spitting. You suck at rapping. You're a girl that's flapping her gums at me. You suck, can't you see? I'm better at rapping than you, Maggie.
Hey, Molly. You didn't bring your doggy. You're up here.
We got an A-A-A rhyme.
We're having a party.
Come on, change it up, girl.
Oh, God.
You see, it's hard. It's not easy to rap.
But, like, already I feel like we had more flows than throws.
Wow. Well, you did bring it home at the end there, but no, I think that it's hard.
I'm really proud of our work so far.
I can't believe we did that. There's no way I would have, like, it's the biz. Anyway.
There's no way. Wait till we get to the Aladdin portion of the evening where you want to sing the entire, like,
don't you repertoire.
Every moment, red letter.
We're not gonna. No, stop.
All right. Okay.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, then.
Rap battle. One of the guys compared them, Ryan Gosling to Matt Damon. That was funny, but without context, it means nothing. Because we've always said that Sean looks like Ryan Gosling. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay. I guess we have to start. We have to talk about Nick now, because Nick showed up.
Yeah, Nick shows up. And this Nick, sort of kicks off a whole entire montage, essentially, of past Bachelor contestants, which, I don't know, we've talked in previous episodes of the After the Rose podcast about how perhaps they all live somewhere together, like... So we have Ashley.
It's like Olympic Village or something where, like, everyone.
Or the Hershey Company.
The Hershey Company. Yeah. Like,
everyone has a role. Or, like, The Simpsons where you have different, you have the same voices in multiple characters.
If you were on The Bachelor, like, now you're, like, a dentist in, like, Bachelor Village. Or, like, Ashley is a hairstylist, apparently.
Yeah.
Crazy so Ashley from last season.
We had Crazy Ashley and Virgin Ashley all appear.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Virgin Ashley is still a virgin?
they didn't put that underneath her. Every time I think about her, I just picture her getting I need to stop. I was going to graphically describe.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know, yeah. Whatever. All right.
So Nick apparently lives in Bachelor Village. It's maybe like a cobbler in Bachelor Village or something where he can leave a lot.
Well, his job is a software sales executive.
Right. So what does that mean?
It means that he carries around, like, a travel, like, suitcase, and he's just ready to join the Bachelor cast whenever. And that's exactly what happened. But.
Perfect. So, yeah, he shows up, and,
he's just like, I don't want to cause any drama. I just want to date you. I'm just here for you, and I just want a chance at love with you. Because I guess that Caitlin and Nick communicated on social media, so.
It sounded like they'd been doing some sexy texting.
A little bit of sexy texting. Caitlin's all like, I don't know, because I, like, don't want to, like. And the other guys are like, you said that you could see your husband in this room, so. Like, I don't understand why you feel like you need a new guy because your husband is already in this room. Like, you said it. Like, no take backs. You said that your husband was in this room. And Nick wasn't in the room, so I don't understand.
Except for there's one guy. One guy. I can't remember who it is. But he's like one of the fitness trainers.
Justin, the fitness trainer, was all like, because Caitlin was like, what do you guys think? And Justin was like, you know, I think that we're here for you and you should follow your heart and...
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, follow your heart. And she's like, someone here gets a rose. Yeah.
And then one of the other guys says, the most meaningless rose in the history of this show. Which I think is, like, tall. That's a
it's
tall
claim. It's true, though. But you're, yeah, like, so far true. Out removed where you're like, this is the rose that maybe I could see my husband in this room. And you get the rose to keep you around because you allowed me to allow more potential future husbands
you get the rose
into this room.
Because you were like, you get to, like, date other men.
Yeah. Like, I can feel so many cocks in me. Like,
man, this is, like, Caitlin might be the first, like, actual poly, like, bachelorette. Like, the show has always been a weird mix of, like, poly plus traditional, like, monogamous values.
Wait,
but, like...
How so? Well, I totally disagree. What about Chris Farmer last season? Like,
you're right.
He kept so
They're
many.
They're all poly.
He kept so many women around. Like, he wouldn't eliminate no one.
I guess what I meant to say was that Justin, who suggested that, like, it was okay for Nick to come on, is the first truly poly person on the show. Yeah, because he was just like, what? Like, well, you're just trying to find a chance at love. Like, you should keep your options open. Like, I don't know.
Remember when I used to make you watch Polyamory, the show?
That show was amazing.
I know. I wish it was still on. We would blog. We would podcast about that and blog about that.
My favorite thing about that show was there was this one scene where, like, there was a couple, like, two couples that were living together, and they were going to go to one of their family's house and, like, premiere, like, they tell their family, come out to their family that, like, they were in a polyamorous relationship and they had, like, traditional Middle Eastern parents, and it was like, mom, dad, like, I have to tell you something. Like, and then, and, like, it's supposed to be, like, the big reveal is that they're in, like, a polyamorous relationship, but to me, and this is always the thing with reality TV, it's like, more pressing than, like, I'm in a polyamorous relationship is, like, and I fuck on television, like, all the time. Like, more than, like, I live with another couple, like, and we're, like, we're the star of a Showtime show that, like, millions of people watch and we fuck on TV. Like, it really seems to me like, that's the big reveal, not, like, I'm living with this couple, but... That's the conceit of all reality TV. I don't get it. Like, I don't know.
Like, cameras are nowhere.
To me, like, the, like, if I were on a date, like, I don't care if it's zombie laser tag or, like, whatever. Like, it would just be like, holy shit, like, the date's on TV. Like, oh my God. Like, that's the thing.
You're going to sing a different tune the day Chris Harrison walks in here with a television crew to film our Bachelor Nation party.
If he walks in, I'll be like, oh my God, we're on TV. Holy shit. That's amazing because usually no one can see me and now millions of people can. Like, yes. That would be terrible. Thing.
I don't want them to see me right now.
Not the last couple of episodes. We are not.
Okay, so back to the show. So Nick doesn't necessarily have a job, but he is
he's on deck. Like, he's just deck. Like, he's Caitlin, waiting. Whatever you choose. They smooch. They have a smooch. A romantic.
And then she kind of, like, she gives it a she night, and the next morning she's like, I'm gonna get my hair done today, and
she's like, I have a hair appointment at 3 o'clock. Surprise twist, who's her hairstylist?
Oh yeah, Crazy Ashley.
Crazy Ashley from last season.
Or from the Hershey Company.
She's just like, what, the turn of the century. Here.
Yeah. And she gives jobs. Like all this sage advice. Like, she's suddenly the voice of wisdom.
It's what if amazing. Like a lesser cast member is like the one that like sweeps up the hair?
Like, that's I would like, love it if there was just like a, it's like bread loaf or something, you God. Know, like just like such a hierarchy where you're like, you can be a bachelorette waiter.
The amateur sex coach is like the receptionist at the hair salon.
Oh my God.
So Ashley curls her hair weirdly and then like cut to like Caitlin's hairstyle, which like bears no resemblance to what Ashley was doing to her hair.
Right.
So Twitter and was all also, about that.
I mean, I guess she had it braided and then unbraided later, but it's also like different again for her date.
Like, I thought her hair looked good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But it did not resemble the process of getting her hair done.
And Ashley was like, is it love or lust? And Caitlin was like, Ashley is so wise. She's like really smart. Like,
yeah.
But Caitlin was like, I know the difference between love and lust, and ultimately allowed Nick. She allowed that snake in the door.
I don't know. I do like him, though. Like, maybe it's just because it's like the devil you know. I feel more from, like,
I can't believe you like him.
I don't know. There's something about him that I find compelling. But I find, like, the bumper crop of men who might be her husband in the room to be overall pretty smarmy. You used the term
snivelly for him last week.
Yeah, he is snivelly.
He's a little snivelly.
But, like, look at all these guys that are on deck. They're all just, like...
Nick is hot. He's good-looking. His fashion is always on point, which I don't like about him. But that's true for all the men. Like, they're all too fashionable for me.
I think he's probably an elitist douchebag.
The guy I'm dating right now wears nothing but basketball shorts and, like, t-shirts.
Does he really wear basketball shorts?
He wears, like, track pants or, like, sweatpants. So, like, it's really great because, like, when he wears jeans, it's just like, hey, oh, look who got dressed up, huh? And I'm the same way, so it's perfect. I can't stand a man that, like, dresses better than me, and they all do. Like, nearly all of them. So that's why I don't like Nick, because he's too put together. But
I think he's probably a dick in real life, but, like, he's got
and on the show. What are you talking about?
He's a dick generally, but he's got, I mean, he does have a charm that the other guys look like they're too... They look like they've been pumped out of a factory.
Do you not remember? Don't you remember that book that he made Andy? Like the book, like the storybook of romance. Oh, you liked it.
Yeah,
you were like, that's so sweet.
I did like that.
Actually, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it,
comparatively, like there are so many side-parted brunettes who, like, have, like, a ding in their smile right now.
You're making a good point. I'm not, like, I don't know why I'm like, oh, these other guys are so much better than Nick.
But they're just, like they're in, like, they're indistinguishable. You know, so I'm having trouble, and he is distinguishable to me.
My new front runner now is the guy that has glasses on that says why shit, whose
the
name
one
I
who's the one who's never like had a date.
Never had a date or like
possibly
distinguished
hasn't
himself.
Been on any of the dates. Like, it's hard to remember.
Might not actually be a cast member.
He's just a camera guy who's like sneaking in.
He's like, you guys, I just like don't worry about Nick. Just concentrate on your own relationship with Caitlin tonight. Like, everyone's like, you're right, glasses guy.
He reminds me of that like side category of porn where it's just like it's like cameraman where like the camera guy just sort of like enters into the porn.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's like so that's that guy.
I like it.
I know you love Clark Kent guy. But yeah, it's that thing where, like, when you're watching, you're like, oh, wait. Oh, you weren't supposed to be here, but you are. And so yeah. You're making, yeah, like.
We don't know who that guy is. And no one gets eliminated. Like, no one was eliminated this week or last week. Is that right?
Yeah, there's no elimination happening. Except, well, Clint got told to go home.
Oh, yeah, Clint got, it's.
But then she canceled the rose ceremony.
They need to fucking start eliminating people because, like, we can't hold all these men in our heads. Like,
oh, but we can in our hearts.
I mean, no. Your heart
but, well,
is.
Aside from the Nick thing, and we had the date with Jared, who's got the worst facial hair. He looks like.
Megan hates his facial hair so much.
I mean, he looks like he's just had a weird. Patchy. He looks like he has ringworm.
I felt like there was a weird continuity thing going on this week where every time they showed him, his facial hair was slightly different. Like, he'd be like, I'm so excited for my date tonight. And then, like, cut to him, like, about to go on the date and it'd be different. And then, like, cut to him again being like, that date was amazing. And, like, in each shot, like, his facial hair was different.
But I don't think they're doing that been, like, on purpose. I think he has a weird, like, magic eye thing going on where it's just so poorly shaved that different levels of it catch the light in different ways.
I think
ways.
It's not his facial hair. I think it's the shape of his face. He's got, like, one of those weird, like, he's got, like, sunken in cheeks and, like, a jutting chin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like him. At first, Caitlin was like, I'm so distracted by Nick that I can't enjoy my date with Jared. Just makes me think that he's like a jewelry dealer. Like, because that's also what the date
looks
like.
But she had really she'd really liked him early on, though. I mean, he's the one who got punched out and then, like.
And then they had, like, a date where they went to the, reward. They went to a museum where they were the only people there, and.
Yeah, they went to the Met.
They went to the Met, and she looked amazing. I loved her dress, and she, Ashley apparently did her hair hours earlier at 3 o'clock that afternoon, and it looked different. But no, then she was like, oh, no, I am having a great time on this date, and, like, Nick didn't distract me. They had, like, one. They had one plate of food between them. They're not even fucking pretending like they're eating food on these dates anymore.
It was a fake log of brie and a fake, like, thing of grapes.
Yeah, they're not even fucking around with the food anymore. Because that used to piss me off so much in past episodes when, like, they pretended to eat. I was like, put some food in your mouth, goddammit. Like,
they didn't even pretend.
They weren't even pretending to eat. So, yeah, they had a great time on their date. Helicopter ride. First helicopter.
If only Tony the Healer was still around. He's like, why can't we just helicopter for a minute after going to the Met?
Tony the Healer would have loved this date.
I know.
And she would have, like, not given him a rose at the end because she doesn't like him. But, Jared got a rose, whatever. This is, like, all the one-on-one dates go amazingly for the first month. It's pretty boring.
So the final day was one that I found eternally confusing. Like, they did sort of like a musical dancing thing where they
went to Broadway.
They went to Broadway and they had to do, you know, they're like, do this, you know, do this dance number and we'll see who's the best.
They were trying out for Aladdin for the Broadway.
Molly really connected with this segment of the show. And has been under her breath singing all the different songs from Aladdin.
Megan's been acting like she didn't watch Aladdin a bunch of times, like, in the early 90s. Like, we weren't both born in, like, 82 and 83,
respectively. No, I did. Wait, what year were you born?
I can open your eyes. I was born in 82. You were born in 83, right?
No, I was born in 82.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay, great. So then you should fucking know about Aladdin. Shut up.
I do know about Aladdin, but like there were all these questions in my mind where they were like, the one who's the best Aladdin gets to be in the
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. It wasn't the particulars of the movie that you had an issue with. Okay.
They're like, yeah, you guys get to be in the movie tonight. And I thought they were going to have to perform that song. And it was as though you had this direct source to understanding what was happening.
I just was, like, able to follow the simple plot of the reality show. Yeah, maybe it is. And you were not. All it was, okay, so they all tried out. They had to sing and dance and whatever. And then whoever won, and this is how a lot of the group dates are structured, where, like, it's a contest. And whoever wins, like, gets to continue on the date. And this was the first time we've seen this season. So, like, they try out. There was two outliers. The track star, the multiracial track star, was a good singer, and he did all right.
Oh, yeah, and he was like, I can't wait to show her.
And he was like, I got this.
Show her my pipes.
And then I was like, and then Chris Cupcake was doing his whole thing of like, I'm no good at anything, and that's when we knew. That's when we knew he was gonna
like come out there and wow them.
So he came out and he really jazzed it up. Like his singing was okay, and he was way too theatrical. And even so, like the theater director was like, oh, he's hamming it up a little bit too much.
Like, yeah, they're like, we don't think he's making fun. We think he's just enthusiastic.
They're like, we think this is what he really thinks he should be doing. So he
like
won.
He's taking Ernest to a new level.
And he was like, I love Aladdin. I am Aladdin. But so Megan thought that like him winning meant that he was gonna like star in the Broadway show like that.
I was so confused by it. They're like, you will be in Aladdin tonight after they'd done the whole tryout. And I was like, and how can they do that to a paying audience on Broadway?
Yeah, she was just like, what? Like, that? They don't have time to rehearse. Like, what is this? All they did was they put them in fucking costume, and they're on stage, and they don't even have lines. They're just, like, extras. Like, they're just, like, they come on for a second. Like,
they have a brief cameo, yeah, sort of.
They get, like, handed a thing, and then they, like, go off stage. It looked like a really shitty play from what I saw, honestly. Like, it didn't look like, I mean, I've seen Footloose on Broadway. It looked better than Aladdin.
I mean, to be fair, we saw through the Bachelorette cameo lens for, like,
you would think that they would put their best face forward, you know? It looked like a shitty Broadway show. I don't recommend
Aladdin.
We're
never going to get endorsed by Aladdin on Broadway, and then you'll never be able to sing your songs the way you sang them to me tonight.
I just want to keep that between us.
It's too late. Every moment, red letter.
Don't stop trying to tempt me.
I'm like throwing out a fishing hook. It's like,
no. No.
Oh my gosh. So we end the episode with Nick's coming back into the house because he's gotten this weird conditional, like, he can't go on a date for a week.
Yeah.
And to try to, like, even out the feelings or something. But he does get to move in, and everyone's like, who is this guy? Especially there are a couple of guys that they kind of cast as real, like, rubes, like hillbillies. The one from Kentucky.
He's just like, I don't understand.
Yeah, and then the welder, who's like, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. Like, he's got. So, I don't know. What are your predictions? I feel like JJ's got to make a comeback before he goes away.
I feel like JJ is just going to, like, peter out. I feel like, although, I mean, man, I just don't know. I don't think that Nick is going to, I was just going to say that he's not going to go very far, but now I'm not so sure. I don't know.
I don't know. I have a feeling that he will do something to prove, like, he'll have a couple of weeks, and then it will be a sort of, like, repeating history.
Yes.
Like, I should have known, you know, Nick, villain's got a vill.
Nick is, I mean, like, there's the classic contestant, the I'm not here to make friends contestant, and Nick is one of those guys.
Yeah.
And Caitlin,
yeah, remember what a bad attitude he had on the miming date?
He had a really bad attitude on the miming date. Like, you gotta be cool on the group dates if you want to get with the Bachelorette. Like, you have to be able to show that you're, it's like Whitney said, like, Chris doesn't want a mean wife.
Like,
did she say that?
Yeah, she said that. And I thought it was so great.
Did we check in on them?
Yes, we did. We did. And they are totally fucking broken up.
Yeah, because of Dancing with the Stars,
because Dancing with the Stars came between them. Because Whitney wanted to spend more quality time with Chris Farmer and wasn't able to get that quality time with him.
I mean, give it to her, though. Like, he could have stopped after The Bachelor. Like, how many reality shows do you need, you know? Although,
you would almost think that him being on reality shows constantly would, like, help the relationship rather than hurt it. Because it's like, who wants to just settle, like, into the farm
tractor
life?
Time.
Like, they never got to that point. But the speculation on the internet is that he's still in love with Becca, but we all know how we feel about her.
Les.
She's currently dating us.
A lot much of like don't what know the, that. No, it's like the Ben guy in the last episode of The Bachelorette. Not Ben Z, but the other Ben H. Uh-huh. Who's like, right now, Caitlin is, she's my girlfriend. I was like, listen, bro, like, I mean, you could maybe qualify that with, like, that's how it feels, or something. Yeah, use an right? I statement, like, something.
Man. I've been dating basketball shorts for 4 weeks, and, like, I'm still not sure if I'm his girlfriend, man. Like,
that's, I think that's like a reasonable amount of time, though. In Bachelorette world, you're in hyperdrive. And 4 weeks, I mean, usually you like to figure that out right away. That's a good, let it roll. Figure it out.
I just really love that part in a relationship where, like, you're not allowed to, like, ever, like, talk about the future or, like, your feelings or, like, project any sort of, like, ideas or thoughts or, like, project when you say how you love feel it. With, like, your facial, like, gestures or, like, yeah, no, I love it.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part of a relationship.
Yeah, that is fucking hell. But at the same time, I've always hated that part because it's like, okay, or like, I've always wanted to stay in that part because it's either from there, you're going to choose to either, like,
it just seems like you're bullshit either, you're gonna choose that to, like, I have to do this with one man and I don't get to, like, do it with, like, 15 men at once. Like, that's, I mean, like, if he's not my boyfriend right away, I want to at least have it be like there's 15 men that are, like, not my boyfriend right away, or they're all my boyfriend.
But, like, if you rush it, it's either, like, he'll be your boyfriend or, like, you'll never see each other again. Like,
he has all my stuff, man.
There's bachelor auditions in Seattle in June 18th, I think.
We already talked about what his story would be. This is, we need to stop talking about this. I don't even.
No, I'm just saying that we could.
I think it's Bachelor. You have to be. Oh, you're right. It might be. Yeah, we're not trying out for the show. No matter what.
I know.
But I do want to recruit some men to try out, maybe. But I don't know.
Or we could just find anyone. Anyone we could put in as an experiment. Oh, send the auditions. Do we know any?
Who
young?
Do we know that's good looking enough to be on TV? I'm not saying that. I mean, I am saying that we're not, but, like, I'm not saying that we're ugly, it's just that, you know.
Yeah, we're not, yeah. That's the thing, is I don't know a lot of people who are.
I don't know anybody who's just, like, A-plus TV ready,
beautiful. Yeah, A-plus TV ready, beautiful equals, like, weird, not A-plus normal person, like.
Oh, man. I was thinking, like, it's weird because I've already mentioned her once and, like, we're not even that close and aren't friends, but I had, like, Kate Jaffe came to mind. Like, I thought that she would be good, but, like, she's, like, married.
we're sorry, Kate.
Yeah, I'm sure she's not listening. I don't know why I'm
if she,
like,
is, she's like,
I'm,
I've
fucking
gotten,
obsessed,
like,
with her.
Like, I've gotten 2 shout-outs on After the Rose. Like, more than any other person on After the Rose.
Totally creepy and weird.
More than your dog, even. We didn't even mention Dorothy tonight.
Yeah, Dorothy. Oh, my God. Dorothy should be a contestant. They should change it up, man. They're starting to get the queer element in. Why not? It's a slippery slope, man. Oh, God. It's a slippery slope. You get Clint and JJ together. Why not a horse? You know?
Molly H goes Rick Santorum on After the Rose.
I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's wrap this up. Any final thoughts before we close out?
Take two.
Tell us who you are. Do you have anything new going on?
Well,
who are you and how did you get into my apartment?
Oh my God, my name is Molly. MollyLeach.com. And also, I'm excited about this. I have an interview with, David Gates, who is an author that is really awesome, who hasn't published a book in like 17 years or something like that. His new book just came out a couple weeks ago, and, I interviewed him, and the interview will come out this Thursday. I don't know what the date is. I don't know what year it is, but like this Thursday in the Missoula Independent, my interview with David Gates. It's going to be awesome. That's what I got. You, Megan?
Oh, congratulations. I'm excited about the interview. My name is Megan Cruz. My book, Call Me Home, is still out. I went to a used bookstore this weekend, and I found a copy of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and it was like this really bittersweet thing. I was at, like,
I think that's cool.
Yeah, it was like, I hate that I am not saying it right. It's either Magus or Magus Books in the U District. And it was an incredible store. And I totally went, like, first to, like, look for it. And I found it. And it was such a bittersweet thing because at first I was like, yeah, you got my book. And then I was like, somebody gave it away. Like, it was used. Yeah, it was given away on the 15th, which means someone must have gotten it, like, really early on and either been like, not for me or... I don't know. The woman was really nice. She's like, some people just aren't keepers. They just go through books and like put them aside. That's how they do it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I know when you gave me your book, I like immediately spilled something on it. Like,
are you saying that? Are you trying to make me think that wasn't the book in the store?
Like, no. It wasn't me. No, what I'm trying to say is that I am one of those people that is not sentimental about books.
But like giving them away, I don't know. I give them to people, but like giving them to a bookstore, like it was just bittersweet.
To sell a book to a bookstore might imply that you thought that book was garbage, but not necessarily.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I need to go back and check it for stains now.
I know exactly where your book is. It's in my trunk. It's in the trunk of my car.
Oh, I thought you said your truck, and I was like, Molly doesn't have a truck.
I'm a goddamn liar.
No, so, yeah, I've got that coming out. I'm teaching some classes upcoming, a class for One Room. I'll tell you more about it once I know more, and Hugo House here in Seattle. You can find out more at Megan Nicole Cruz, KRUSE.com.
I wanted to start mentioning this, Megan. Now's not the time because we really don't know what we're doing in terms of like running a podcast. But if you're listening, if you could rate us on iTunes and subscribe, that would be helpful. Rate and subscribe, whoever you are. So Alice, Aaron, I don't know who else. 5 stars, like. Say that we weren't drunk, specifically, and I'll work on the promotion from here. We'll figure it out.
Molly loves Aladdin. Molly is Aladdin.
Whatever. Megan loves the whispers.
I did kind of until tonight. I don't know.
Until I made her feel so badly about it, like for no reason. I'm like, you like the show? Fuck you. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Goodbye. Bye everyone.